Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Tuesday class, August 20, 2024, Joel.
All right, I hope you brought your swords and ready to go. We're going to be hither and yon tonight. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God this evening to Joel chapter 3. Joel chapter 3, and we're in Joel 3, 9 to 17. This is a powerful passage. It prophesies what's going to happen at the end of the tribulation period, Armageddon. Joel 3, 9 to 17. In preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, sir, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, which enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Well, this is an amazing prophetical passage, Joel 3, 9 to 17. It prophesies the campaign of Armageddon. The last 3.5 years, when the Antichrist is the ruler of planet Earth, is now assembling the revived Roman Empire. He will be the leader of the revived Roman Empire. He will come into, he actually make a treaty with Israel at the beginning of the tribulation, promising to protect them and give them peace. That's the first 3.5 years. But midway through the tribulation, he will go into Israel, go into Jerusalem and the temple, and declare himself to be God. And then he will demand that everyone on planet Earth worship him as God. That begins the last 3.5 years, which the Bible calls the Great Tribulation. And as that proceeds, there are two individuals. First of all, God himself will assemble the kings of the north, which today would be Russia, the kings of the east, which today would be communist China, the kings of the south, which is the Pan-Arabic bloc, and the kings of the west, the revived Roman Empire under the Antichrist. God will bring them all into the Middle East. And God is bringing them all into the Middle East for judgment. Judgment. Jehoshaphat. The Lord judges, and the Lord will judge these armies assembled in the Middle East. But also, not only is God doing that, but so is Satan. Satan is right now the ruler of planet Earth. A fallen angel, Satan, is now the ruler of planet Earth. And Satan is also assembling all of these armies of the king of the north, Russia, the kings of the east, communist China, kings of the south, the pan-Arabic bloc, and the revived Roman Empire. Satan is bringing them all into Megiddo. And one, to try to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth. If he can do that, Satan wins the angelic conflict. But secondly, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back, and Satan knows, he's read the passages in the Old Testament about the second advent of Christ. He's aware that Christ is coming back. And when he comes back, Satan has all these armies assembled to go to war with Jesus Christ. Now that shows you how arrogant Satan is. How you got to be, he's so arrogant. He's totally divorced from reality. He's going to go to war with Jesus Christ. Guess how long that war will take? Well, there's a sword that will come out of the Lord's mouth and it's over. So there are two parties. God is assembling the armies in Armageddon for the Battle of Armageddon, and Satan is assembling these armies. All of this is in our passage, Joel chapter 3, verses 9 to 17. In Joel 3, verses 9 and 10, we had the announcement of Armageddon. Joel 3, 9 and 10, the announcement of Armageddon. Proclaim this among the nations. And there are four commands. The first command, command number one, prepare for war. That's the preparation for war. Command number two, cause to rouse the warriors. That's training for war. Command number three, mobilize all the fighting men. That's mobilization for war. And command number four, invade, attack, invasion. So in verse 9, we have the four commands, preparation for war, training for war, mobilization for war, and invasion. In verse number 10, we have military buildup, the converting of a peacetime economy into a wartime economy. In this passage, we have the call to the nations of the world to prepare for war and assemble for Armageddon. Verse 10 says, beat your plowshares into swords and your pruning hooks into spears. And let the weakling say, I am a mighty soldier, a valiant warrior. So in Joel 3, 9 and 10, we have the announcement of Armageddon. And now in Joel 3, 11 and 12, we have the assembly for Armageddon. Joel 3, 11 and 12 plainly indicates that the judgment mentioned in this chapter will be divine warfare against Israel's enemies. And therefore, what is described here is directly related to Armageddon. Verse 11, come quickly and advance as fast as possible, all you nations from every side, from the north, which is the king of the north, Russia today, from the east, the communist Chinese, from the east, kings of the east, from the south, the kings of the south, the pan-Arabic bloc, from the west, the revived Roman Empire with the Antichrist. So come quickly and advance as fast as possible, all you nations from every side, from the north, the east, the south, the west, and all assemble in Armageddon. This is the assembly of the armies of the world for Armageddon. They receive the action of being assembled by God as a part of His perfect plan. He's assembling there so that the Lord Jesus Christ, who all judgment has been given by the Father to the Lord Jesus Christ. There will be several judgments by the Lord Jesus Christ in this period. And one of the judgments is here, the judgment of all the armies assembled in Armageddon. The Lord Jesus Christ will judge them. And there's another judgment we studied in Joel 3:2. Gentile unbelievers who survive the tribulation, they'll be brought before the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, all survivors who survive the tribulation will be brought before Jesus Christ. And the believers will be separated from the unbelievers. The believers will go into the millennial kingdom, and the unbelievers will be judged. So that's a totally different judgment. That's a judgment on individuals. What we have in verse 12 is a judgment on armies. So totally different judgment. The Lord judges, however. That's what Jehoshaphat means. Jehoshaphat is from the Tetragrammaton, the Lord, and Shaphat to judge. And it simply means the Lord judges. And the Lord will judge in many different ways. At the second advent, He will judge individuals. That's Joel 3:2. He will judge armies. That's Joel 3:12. So this is the assembly of the armies of the world for Armageddon. They receive the action of being assembled by God as a part of His perfect plan to be destroyed at the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. They also receive the action of being assembled by Satan to attempt to fulfill his satanic plan, which is to destroy Israel and destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, and win, and therefore win, the angelic conflict. So, in the last half of verse 11, the Lord Jesus Christ enters with His army. So let's look at verse 11 again. Come quickly and advance as fast as possible, all you nations from every side, from the north, the king of the north, today Russia, from the east, the kings of the east, communist China, from the south, king of the south, the Pan-Arabic bloc, from the west, the revived Roman Empire, which is led by the Antichrist. So come quickly and advance as fast as possible, all you nations from every side, and assemble for war there. There is Armageddon. And then we have, O Lord, bring your mighty armies down. The conclusion of verse 11. O Lord, bring your mighty armies down. Now, we ended about there last time. We got one point, point one. And you think that's all there was? Have I ever given you one point? No. But what is point one? Let's review it. Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will lead His armies down from heaven at the second advent. Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ, will lead His armies down from heaven. He will return at the second advent in great military glory. Great military glory. Turn over to Revelation 19. We ended with this last time. We're going to start with this evening. Revelation chapter 19. In Revelation 19, verses 11 to 21, we have the second advent of Jesus Christ. This is what is going to happen. This is what is going to take place. This is exactly what it's going to be at the second advent. Revelation 19, 11 to 21. Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse, whose rider is called Faithful and True. And with justice, he judges and makes war. This is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ returns at the second advent with military glory. And with justice, he judges and makes war. The greatest soldier of all time is the Lord Jesus Christ. His eyes are like blazing fire. And on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, all those nations assembled in Armageddon. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun who cried in a loud voice to all the birds flying in midair, Come and gather together for the great supper of God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, eat the flesh of generals, eat the flesh of mighty men, of horses and their riders, and the flesh of all people, free and slave, small and great. And then I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth, and their armies gathered together to make war against. And who are they making war against? The rider on the horse. To make war against Jesus Christ. Satan has assembled them there to not only try to destroy every Jew from the face of the earth, but also to fight and defeat the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent. So then I saw the beast, the Antichrist, and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against the rider on the horse, the Lord Jesus Christ and his army. But the beast was captured, and with him the false prophet who had performed the miraculous signs on his behalf. And with these signs he had deceived those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped his image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur, and the rest of them were killed with the sword that came out of the mouth of the rider, the Lord Jesus Christ, on the horse. And all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh. That's the greatest description of the second advent of Jesus Christ returning to this earth. He's returning in judgment. Here the judgment is judgment on the armies of nations assembled in Armageddon. So point two, the Lord Jesus Christ will be riding a white horse. And the white horse speaks of his coming victory. Speaks of his coming victory over the forces of evil in the world. And that's Revelation 19, verse 11. So he will be riding a white horse, which speaks of his coming victory over the forces of evil in the world, Revelation 19, 11. 3, the Lord Jesus Christ, it says in verse 11, will judge and make war with perfect justice, perfect integrity. So the Lord Jesus Christ, in great military glory, will go to war with perfect justice and perfect integrity. 4. His piercing judgment is indicated in the phrase, his eyes are like blazing fire, Revelation 19, verse 12. So his piercing judgment is indicated in the phrase, his eyes are like blazing fire, Revelation 19, 12. 5. His right to rule all of planet Earth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is evidenced by the many crowns that he is wearing, Revelation 19, verse 12. His right to rule all of planet Earth as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords is evidenced by the many crowns that he is wearing, verse 12 of chapter 19. Six, his name is Halagos Toutheou. That's exactly how it looks like in the Greek. That's the definite article, ha, logos. That's the genitive singular of the article, T-O-U, and the genitive singular of theos, God, and the genitive is T-H-E-O-U. So we have the Word of God. His name is Halagos Toutheou. The Word of God. That's verse 13, Revelation 19, verse 13. And John, who is the human author of Revelation, has presented this in the Gospel of John. Turn over to the Gospel of John, John 1, 1. John 1, verse 1. In John 1:1, he writes, in the beginning, in eternity past, was the Logos, the Word. And the Logos, the Word, was face to face with God. And the Logos, the Word, kept on being eternal God. He was face to face with God in the beginning, in eternity past. So John says his name, he's the living word. It is Halagos Toutheou, the Word of God. And then in verse 14, the Logos, the Word, became flesh, the incarnation and virgin birth of the eternal Son of God, Jesus Christ, on that very first Christmas. The Logos, the Word, became flesh and tabernacled among us, skenao. We have seen his glory, the glory of the uniquely born one who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So his name is Halagos Toutheou, the Word of God, Revelation 19:13, and we have seen his name. John has presented him as the Word, John 1:1, John 1:14. 7. The name on his robe And on his thigh is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The name on his robe and on his thigh is King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Revelation 19:16, but also turn back to Revelation 17. Revelation 17. Revelation 17, let's start at verse 12. The ten horns represent the revived Roman Empire you saw are ten kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but who for 1 hour will receive authority as kings along with the beast, the Antichrist. The Antichrist is the leader of the revived Roman Empire. They have one purpose and will give their power and authority to the beast, to the Antichrist. And they will make war against the Lamb. Once again, going to war against Jesus Christ. They will make war against the Lamb, Jesus Christ, but the Lamb will overcome them because he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And with him will be his called, his chosen and faithful followers. So the name on his robe and on his thigh is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 8. So the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That was the Apostle John in John 1:29. Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. That Lamb of God is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords who will return in great military glory to judge the nations assembled, the armies assembled in Armageddon. 9. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords is emphasizing the deity of Jesus Christ as the eternal Son of God. Ten. Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God. The eternal Son of God. And on that very first Christmas, the eternal Son of God left heaven. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, he came into the world. He took on true humanity. And why did he have to take on true humanity? Because he had to go to a cross. Deity can't die. He had to go to a cross where the Father would gather up the sins of the whole world and pour them out on him. And then the Father would judge the sins of the world in him. And so he willingly left heaven on that very first Christmas. Took on true humanity, went to a cross, and solved the world problem of sin. Because he did that, anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believes in Jesus Christ has the gift of eternal life and God's imputed righteousness and will live with God forever and ever and ever. 11. The rider on the white horse in Revelation 19:11-21 is the Lord Jesus Christ returning to the earth in great military glory. The rider on the white horse in Revelation 19:11-21 is the Lord Jesus Christ returning to the earth in great military glory. He's returning to judge the armies that have assembled there. This is different from Joel 3:2, where he is a judge judging the survivors of the tribulation. Who have gone in, they have survived the tribulation, and now he takes and separates the believer survivors from the unbeliever survivors. The believer survivors go into the millennial kingdom. The unbeliever survivors are judged. So you have the Jehoshaphat. The emphasis is not geographical. It's on the fact that Jehoshaphat, Jehovah, the Lord, Shaphat, judges. That's the key. I know I screwed up. I put the emphasis on the wrong syllable way back there. And for some of you, that's the only thing you remember. I said that, but anyway. 12. At the second advent, the Lord Jesus Christ comes back to earth to wage war. And his robe is dipped in blood. That's Revelation 19:13. But this is also prophesied in Isaiah. There are many passages in the Old Testament that prophesy the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the second advent. Turn over to Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63. Isaiah 63, starting at verse 2. Why are your garments red like those of one treading the winepress? By the way, that's coming up in our verses in Joel, coming up. Why are your garments red like those of one treading the winepress? I have trodden the winepress alone. From the nations, no one was with me. I trampled them in my anger. This is anthropopathism for the integrity of God, his absolute righteousness and perfect justice, and trod them down in my wrath, and their blood spattered my garments, and I stained all my clothing, for the day of vengeance was in my heart, and the year of my redemption has come. I looked, but there was no one to help the nations of the world assembled in Armageddon. I was appalled that no one gave support. So my own arm worked deliverance for me, and my own wrath sustained me. And I trampled the nations. I trampled the nations in my anger. In my wrath, I made them drunk and poured their blood on the ground. Isaiah 63, 2 through 6. All right, so in this passage, this is a very powerful passage describing Armageddon. Joel 3, 9 and 10, the announcement of Armageddon. Joel 3, 11 and 12, the assembly for Armageddon. And so far we have exegeted verse 11. Come quickly and advance as fast as possible, all you nations from every side, from the north, king of the north, today Russia, from the east, the kings of the east, today communist China, from the south, kings of the south, pan-Arabic bloc, from the west, the revived Roman Empire with the leadership of the Antichrist, and assemble for war there, the valley of Megiddo, Armageddon. O Lord, bring your mighty armies down. Now that brings us to verse 12. Now, this is the second time in, there's only two times in the Old Testament scriptures, and only two times in all of the Word of God, that we have the word Jehoshaphat. Only two times, Joel 3:2, Joel 3:12. So let's just go through and clarify once again this word Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat is the Hebrew word Yehoshaphat. That's what how it looks like in the Hebrew, and it's Y, Shava, H, long O, S, H, A, P, H, A, T, Yehoshaphat. And Yehoshaphat is a compound word made up of the tetragrammaton, Jehovah, the Lord, and the verb shaphat, to judge. And therefore, Jehoshaphat is a transliteration. It's not a translation, it's a transliteration. Jehoshaphat literally means the Lord judges. And the importance of this name, Jehoshaphat, is not in a specific geographical location, but it's in its meaning, the Lord judges. God the Father has entrusted all judgment to God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The Gospel of John, chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, which says, "For not even the Father judges anyone, but he has given all judgment to the Son, in order that all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him." God the Father has given the Lord Jesus Christ the authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. He's not only eternal Son of God deity, he is true humanity. And therefore he has a title in his true humanity. Son of Man, John 5:27. And he, the Father, gave him, Jesus Christ, authority to execute judgment because he is the Son of Man. Special title for the true humanity of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's always the eternal Son of God deity, but that's the Son of God, the title Son of God. Son of God emphasizes his deity. Title Son of Man emphasizes his humanity. And with that title, the Son of Man, he has the authority to judge man. He is the Son of Man, so the Father's given him the authority to judge man. The Son of Man is the title of the Lord Jesus Christ, putting the spotlight on his incarnation and virgin birth, his true humanity, and his authority to judge mankind. Through the incarnation and virgin birth, the eternal Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, has been given authority to judge as the Son of Man. So, the importance of the name Jehoshaphat is not in its geographical location, but in its meaning, the Lord judges. The theme of the book of Joel is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord includes three parts, the seven-year tribulation period, the second advent, the millennial kingdom. The only place where Jehoshaphat is found in the Word of God is the book of Joel, Joel 3:2 and Joel 3:12. So Jehoshaphat, the Lord judges, takes place in the day of the Lord. And in Joel 3:2, which we studied a little while back, and Joel 3:12, we have the Lord Jesus Christ judging, but he's judging, first time, judging individuals who have survived the tribulation, separating believers from unbelievers and judging the unbelievers. They go to torment, the fire of torment, held there until the second resurrection and the great white throne judgment, and then they're judged and cast into the lake of fire. And the second one, he's judging armies assembled by the nations. So there's two different categories here. In Joel 3:2, the Lord Jesus Christ will judge Gentile unbelievers who have survived the great tribulation. Now that's Matthew 25. So turn over again to Matthew 25. I want you to see this. Make sure you got it. Got it completely. Matthew 25. Matthew 25, verse 31, when the, what does it say? Son of Man. The Father gave all judgment to the Son because He is the Son of Man. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, in all military glory at the second advent, and all the angels, the elect angels with Him, He will sit on His throne in heavenly glory, great military glory, and all the Gentiles, individuals, will be gathered before Him. And there will be Gentile believers and Gentile unbelievers that have survived the tribulation gathered before Him. And He will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep, that is believer, Gentile believers, on His right, and the goats, Gentile unbelievers, on His left. And then the king will say to those on his right, the Gentile believers, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom, come into the millennial kingdom, prepared for you since the creation of the world. So the Gentile believers, they've been separated by the Lord Jesus Christ, they go into the millennial kingdom. Then verse 41, then He will say to those on His left, the Gentile unbelievers, depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So there is judgment of individuals. That's what we have in Joel 3:2. And there is judgment of armies, and that's in Joel 3:12. So this will take place, Matthew 25, 31 and following, this will take place on earth after the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one should not confuse this with the great white throne judgment, which will take place after the millennial kingdom. And after the millennial kingdom as not a part of the day of the Lord. This is judgment of individual Gentile unbelievers who have survived the great tribulation. These are Gentile unbelievers who rejected the grace gospel proclaimed by the two witnesses, Moses and Elijah, and the 144,000 super evangelists, 12,000 from the 12 tribes of Israel. And the parable on judgment taught by our Lord Jesus Christ are on individuals, not on armies or nations. But then we go to Joel 3:12, where we are now, and now the Lord Jesus Christ is judging armies. In Joel 3:2, He's judging individuals. Now in Joel 3:12, He's judging armies. Again, the issue with Jehoshaphat is the fact the Lord judges. So in Joel 3:12, we have the Lord Jesus Christ judging the armies of the world that have assembled for Armageddon. Satan will bring them to Israel for a number of reasons. First of all, he will be cast out of heaven, meaning his access to God has been cut off. Revelation 12, verse 9, he will know that time is running out for him, and therefore he must act quickly to destroy God's plan, Revelation 12, 12. And third, he will want to pour out his wrath upon Israel, hoping that he can destroy Israel and every Jew from the face of the earth and keep God's program from coming to fruition. And fourth, he will gather these armies of the world together in order to try to destroy the Lord Jesus Christ at the second advent, Revelation 19:19. Because if he can overthrow Christ's rule on earth, he can keep it for himself. He right now is the ruler of planet earth. He wants to stay the ruler of planet earth. If he can overthrow Christ's rule on earth, he can keep it for himself, Revelation 16:12-14. Therefore, we have two different categories of Jehoshaphat. The Lord judges. Joel 3:2, the Lord Jesus Christ will judge Gentile unbelievers who have survived the great tribulation. Matthew 25:31-41. And in Joel 3:12, the Lord Jesus Christ will judge the armies of the world who have assembled for Armageddon. All right. Now I know you got that. Well, you probably got to hear it about 100 more times. And I love repetition. All right. Joel 3:12. Let the nations be wakened. We have the Niphal imperfect of Ur plus the noun goyim with a definite article. All right, goyim. When you put the definite article, ha-goyim. There's a definite article. Ha. G, long O, Y, long I, M. Ha-goyim. And that is the Gentile nations. So you translate this, the Gentile nations, and then Ur. I-N, long U-R, Ur. And the Kal stem of Ur means to rouse oneself, to awake, but we don't have it. We have the Niphal stem. That's very important. We have the Niphal stem, which is the passive of the Kal stem. And it means to be roused. You're receiving the action of being brought here. So this is Niphal stem. The subject receives the action of the verb. These Gentile nations are receiving the action of being roused and brought to Armageddon. So let the Gentile nations be roused. Let's get a couple of points so you got this down. One, the Niphal stem tells us that the Gentile nations of the world will receive this action. They will receive this action of being awakened, roused, and brought to Israel in the Battle of Armageddon. The Niphal stem is very important. It tells us that the Gentile nations of the world, from the north, the king of the north, Russia, from the east, the kings of the east, communist China, from the south, the kings of the south, pan-Arabic bloc, from the west, revived Roman Empire with the Antichrist, receive the action of being awakened, roused, and brought to Israel for the Battle of Armageddon. Two, God declares that he will gather Gentile nations to battle against Israel. God declares that he will gather Gentile nations to battle against Israel. Turn over to Zechariah. And by the way, when we get finished with Joel, and you, many of you, figured it out. You're so, I got a whole church of geniuses. You figured out that the next book in the Old Testament is going to be Zechariah. And I'm just about ready to, I finished exegesis on the first two chapters. I'm ready to start chapter three. Well, you're not as excited as I am, man. Of course, some of you are sitting, you go, chapter three, that means we'll be, that's just 3 years just to get that taught in. Zechariah 14. Verse 2, I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem. I, the Lord, is one of the ones bringing in there. Satan's the other one bringing in there. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. To try to, this is a part of, he brought them there so that the Lord can judge them. God brought them there so that the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, can judge them and destroy them. That's why God brought them there. Satan brings them there to destroy the Jews and to attack Jesus Christ at the second advent. But God brought them there so that the Lord Jesus Christ can judge them. You see, God already knows Revelation 19. I will gather all the nations to Jerusalem to fight against it. The city will be captured, the houses ransacked, and the women raped. Half of the city will go into exile, but the rest of the people will not be taken from the city. Zechariah 14:2. So God declares that he will gather the Gentile nations to Israel, and he's bringing them to Israel so that the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, will judge them. 4. Amazingly, Satan will also gather the nations to Israel. But his purpose is totally different. His purpose is to win the angelic conflict. So amazingly, Satan will also gather the nations to Israel. But his purpose is totally different. He's trying to win the angelic conflict. 5. Demonic spirits will come from Satan, from the Antichrist, and from the false prophet. You say, where is that? Well, I'm going to show you. Just hold on to your horses. Just get this point down. Demonic spirits will come from Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, drawing the kings of the world to war in the Middle East through performing miraculous signs. Demonic spirits will come from Satan, the Antichrist, and the false prophet, drawing the kings of the world to war through performing miraculous signs. Now turn over to Revelation 16. Revelation 16. Revelation 16, let's start at verse 12. The sixth angel poured out his bowl on the great river Euphrates, and its water was dried up to prepare the way for the kings from the east. Today that would be communist China. For the kings from the east. And then I saw three evil spirits, demonic. These are demons that look like frogs. They came out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. They are spirits of demons. performing miraculous signs. And they go out to the king of the whole world to gather them for the battle on the great day of God Almighty, the second advent of Jesus Christ to the earth in his great military glory. Behold, I come like a thief. Blessed is he who stays alert and keeps his clothes with him so that he may not go naked and be shamefully exposed. And then they gathered the kings together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. All right. Great passage corresponding with this. Demonic spirits will come from Satan, Antichrist, false prophet, drawing the kings of the world to war through performing miraculous signs. Point six is the question. Question, why would Satan want to bring the nations of the world to Israel? Why would Satan want to bring the nations of the world to Israel? The answer, point seven, Satan is drawing them to Israel for the battle of the great day of God Almighty, Revelation 16, 14. He is drawing them to Israel for the battle of the great day of God Almighty, Revelation 16, 14. Eight, Satan will bring them to Israel for a number of reasons. He will bring them to Israel for a number of reasons. One, he will have been cast out of heaven, and therefore his access to God has been cut off. First of all, he will have been cast out of heaven, and therefore his access to God has been cut off. Turn over to Revelation 12. Revelation 12. Let's start at verse 7. Revelation 12, verse 7. And there was war in heaven. Michael, elect angel, and his angels fought against the dragon, Satan, and the dragon and his angels fought back. But he was not strong enough, and they lost their place in heaven. The great dragon, Satan, was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan, who deceives the whole world. Well, we witness that every day. He was hurled to the earth and his angels with him. And then I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now have come the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren, who accuses them before our God day and night, he has been hurled down. So he will have been cast out of heaven, and therefore his access to God has been cut off, Revelation 12, 7 to 10. Secondly, he will know that time is running out for him. He will know that time is running out for him, and therefore he must act quickly in order to win the angelic conflict. He knows that time is running out for him and that he must act quickly in order to win the angelic conflict. And that's Revelation 12, verse 12. But woe to the earth and the sea, because the devil has gone down to you. He is filled with fury because he knows that his time is short. Revelation 12:12. 3. He wants to pour out his wrath on Israel, all the Jewish people, hoping that Israel's destruction will keep God's plan from coming to fruition. God has made unconditional covenants with the Jewish people, the Abrahamic, Palestinian, Davidic, and New Covenants. Those are unconditional covenants. He's promised regenerate Israel. But if there's no Jews, Satan wins the angelic conflict. So he wants to pour out his wrath on Israel, hoping that Israel's destruction will keep God's plan from coming to fruition. Revelation 12:13-17. Revelation 12:13. When the dragon saw that he had been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman, Israel, who had given birth to the male child, the Lord Jesus Christ. The woman, Israel, was given two wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the desert, where she would be taken care of for a time, times, and half a time. That's the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. Out of the serpent's reach. And then from his mouth, the serpent, Satan, spewed forth water like a river to overtake the woman, Israel, to destroy Israel and the Jews, and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And then the dragon was enraged at the woman, at Israel and the Jewish people, and he went off to make war against the rest of her offspring, that is, those who obey God's commandments and obey and hold to the testimony of Jesus. So he wants to pour out his wrath on Israel, hoping that Israel's destruction will keep God's plan from coming to fruition. Wow. This is not everything I've got here with this, but there's so much here. But make sure you have your swords ready next week. We're just getting started. So get your sword, better sharpen them up. You're ready. We'll look at these paths. The Word of God is absolute truth. Jesus Christ said, John 17:17, sanctify them by means of the truth. Thy word is absolute truth. The word of God, everything we're studying here is absolute truth. And what a privilege, what an honor. With all of the deception and lies in our own nation and in the world, God has given us absolute truth to anchor to. This is what you anchor to. You anchor your soul to the absolute truth of the Word of God. And that's what winners do. Winner believers anchor their souls to the absolute truth of the Word of God. We'll pick it up here next time. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.